today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and did you know that if you read a book about getting ready for marriage or go through basic premarital counseling, that you would lower your risk of divorce by 31%? 31%, that's incredible. That means that if all couples preparing for marriage did just a little bit of work ahead of time, the divorce rate would drop from 50% to a meager 19%. These stats then beg the question, why doesn't everyone do at least some premarital counseling? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. A few months ago, I had the privilege of interviewing two good friends of mine. The first is a man that I worked for many years, and he also officiated my wedding to Laura. I'm speaking of Jim Burns, who is now the president of Homeward and the executive director of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. Jim is joined in the studio by his friend and another man I used to work for, Doug Fields, who is also a member of the Homeward team as the senior director of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family. Jim and Doug both live in Southern California with their families, and the two of them have recently co-written a book together titled Getting Ready for Marriage, A Practical Roadmap for Your Journey Together. So let's get to the program now. Here's my interview with my good friends Jim Burns and Doug Fields on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Jim and Doug, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
It's great to be here, Ryan. Thanks.
Absolutely, Ryan. I was just thinking as you said that I actually officiated your wedding, and I was at Doug's wedding involved in it. So,
All right.
Here we are sitting in the studio. And
you can
I was
tell
both
who the
weddings.
Old guy is. Right?
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
That's right. Yeah. You know, you were our first. Yeah. When Laura and I were talking about who officiated, I was like, we should have Jim Burns. He's like, we should have Jim Burns. And it was great. We're down on the beach.
Absolutely.
We were the only illegal ones. You're not allowed to get married on the beach in Newport Beach. My brother-in-law lives down there. And so all the guests sat on his tiny little piece of lawn. And then Laura and I and Jim were out on the
sand.
Illegal.
That's right.
Well, maybe the wedding was illegal. Then
I don't know. We ought to bring that up.
Uh-oh. Maybe another time. Jim, you know, you said something this morning. You came and you did devotions for our team here at Family Talk, and you talked about the importance of good premarital counseling and how that affects the divorce rate or the rate of percentage that people stay together. Say that one again, because that one stuck out to me.
It's incredible, Ryan. I mean, even I learned this as we started working in this project, but if couples will get good premarital education, and even people who are seriously dating get good education, good counseling on it, there's a 31% better chance that they will stay married. I mean, when that sinks in, when you start thinking about the divorce rate, there were 2.1 million people who got married last year. There were 1 million divorces.
Oh.
So, you know, we can literally turn the tide with good premarital counseling. And, you know, you're even seeing this in the secular world. States like Minnesota, Oklahoma, you know, they're actually lowering the rate to get a marriage license if they'll, you know, show the people that they've had six sessions. Pretty incredible.
Wow, that's amazing. That really, you know, I was talking to Laura about this subject yesterday. I was talking to someone who had lived with a guy a couple of times and it hadn't worked out. And she had recently bought a home and said, you know, I need some time by myself, so I'm not going to let my boyfriend move in. And I said, wow, that's fantastic. You know, it's interesting you say that because I had just read a study that said 90% of relationships where the couple lived together end broken up. Either before the marriage or they divorce after the marriage, but 90% failure rate. And I told her this. I said, there's a 90% failure rate of relationships where the couple lives together. And her response immediately back was, oh, I'm not saying I'm never going to live with them. I just don't think I should live with them right now. Right. And I was so stunned. I was like, wait, didn't you just hear? You have a 90% chance of failure if you live with him. But your immediate response was, well, I still might do that.
It's that whole idea of I've got to test this out before I buy.
Wow.
And Jim and I have talked about that in our sex chapter in the book about cohabitation and how it is just it's not the direction. It doesn't scream commitment. It's easy to get out. It really doesn't show what real marriage is all about.
It doesn't.
Greater chance, like you just said, a greater chance that once they even got married, they would get a divorce, greater chance of adultery. I mean, even things when you look at the science of cohabitation, even the secular world is looking at it saying this isn't a good thing. Now, they want to be politically correct.
Sure,
so they're not going to take a biblical worldview like us. But isn't it interesting that even people in the secular world are saying, you know, this sort of isn't working. But again, it's a trouble. We actually discussed, do we put that in this book or do we not? Because we wanted so badly to be able to do premarital education for everybody, and we knew we might offend some people, but we have a little section in there just to help them understand
sure.
that that's a red flag. It's a major red flag.
It is. It is. You guys have worked with youth and you're working in marriages. You're now at Azusa Pacific. You've got all these college kids where most people meet their spouse in college. But Doug, you know, Jim just said there were 2.1 million marriages and a million divorces last year. Why do you think the divorce rate is that high today?
Well, we're a culture that accepts it. So because we accept it, it's I think, you know, you talk my parents' era, nobody got divorced. Now, it doesn't mean they had happy marriages. They probably moved from initially romance to a roommate situation. But because culturally, it wasn't acceptable. Today, culturally, it's acceptable. So I think people go in, they're signing prenups. They go in with this idea that if it doesn't work, we can just get out of it. But the people at the college campus, the younger people that Jim and I talk with, they actually don't want to repeat their parents' past.
True. There's a fear about marriage.
And it's pushing it later.
Yes. It's pushing it later, and it's pushing people to just not get married. I don't want to have what my parents had. I'm different. I mean, my parents have been married for 54 years. I would love to have what they had, or my grandparents.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm really unique in that.
Yeah. When my kids went away to college, their eyes were open. They went to Christian colleges and came back and they said, Mom and Dad, like, oh gosh, we love you. You know, we were just amazed at how fractured the family was, even in Christian environments, and came back and saying, you know, so many of our people that live in our dorm and they just don't understand what a healthy relationship is like. But they want it. And that's the great news.
Yeah.
That I do think young people, as they're getting into relationships, they don't want to repeat the sins of their parents' past. And something like getting ready for marriage, or what we've done, we've got a new website called gettingreadyformarriage.com that takes them through videos and compatibility tests and things like that. They are so hungry and excited for that.
You know, we always talk about the millennials and some bad things, but you know what the number one thing millennials want is a healthy family.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Family Talk, that's why what we're doing at Homeward, that's a good news, actually.
Sure.
And you know, some people wouldn't realize that. But again, it is later. They're making some goofy decisions. But when it comes down to it, what's your number one desire? To have a healthy family.
Yeah. Wow. I was going to ask you that, Jim, because when I started working for you, it wasn't Homeward. It was the National Institute of Youth Ministry.
Right.
And by the way, it was so long ago. The internet was brand new, and I debated whether or not to take the interview because I didn't like your website. And now looking back, I'm like, nobody had a website. Like, the fact that you had a website should have been a huge green light for me, that it wasn't great in my arrogant, you know, whatever how old I was self.
Right.
But I was going to ask you about this millennial generation because it seems to me that they're willing to ask for help. Where I think there were past generations that were like, nope, do it myself. You know, now maybe they go about it in a different way, but it does feel like there's this openness to we can all learn together.
Right. You know, I mean, they're looking for mentors.
Uh-huh.
You know, Doug's and my background is youth ministry, and we kind of feel like now we're just working with the youth who have gotten married and have kids or whatever
right.
in terms of the parenting side.
Sure.
And we're still interested in how do we help these people who are still, you know, looking at marriage. And, you know, it seems to me that these are people who, if you're relevant, if you're authentic, you know, what happens is in a previous generation, we were not authentic. You know, people acted like marriage is perfect, families are perfect, parenting
yes.
is easy. But, you know,
if you love Jesus, it's all going to be perfect.
Exactly.
Don't
exactly.
worry. All you got to do is love.
No, exactly. So if you're willing to deal with the issues, talk about it from strength and your own weaknesses, you know, they're willing to listen. It's just a matter of the way we present it. And today, the word is authenticity. You got to be real with them.
Sure. You say in the book that when you encounter couples as you're out speaking and doing different things, that a lot of couples have a kind of a fantasy understanding of marriage. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think they think, you know, girls from a young age have been practicing, right? Every time they have a boyfriend, they practice writing that new last name, you know, imagining I'm going to marry that person. They imagine the wedding dress. They imagine the ceremony. You know, the guys, they imagine the wedding night. But, you know, so they've built up this fantasy for years of what it's going to be like, that it's going to be simple, like dating. Let's be honest.
Right.
Dating is simple.
Yeah.
In comparison, you've got that infatuation drug. Your brain's releasing dopamine. You're excited. And, you know, Jim and I tell people basically when you said yes to marriage, you were stoned because of the drugs that your brain is releasing, the happiness drugs.
A lot of oxytocin happening
absolutely.
There. Sure.
But, you know, once you cross that line, all of a sudden you go, oh, wait, you're not leaving at the end of the night, are you? And I see you every day. And
I've got to be with you all day?
That's right.
Every day?
So I think there is a little piece of that fantasy that bursts a little bit. But, you know, one of the things that Jim and I have been trying to use in some ways to get people to pay attention to this is you spend so much time and money on a wedding. You plan for a ceremony as opposed to planning for a life.
Yep.
And that's really where we want to intersect in people and say, yes, we want you to have a beautiful wedding, but we want you to care about this such a important decision that will redirect the course of your life and your kids' lives and your legacy. It all boils down to this.
Sure, sure. I do wonder about this generation because they've always had this massive national debt over their heads. And most of them have just crippling student loan debt. And it seems, I can't tell this 100%, but you know, Laura mentored a bunch of girls and they were all in our wedding and we've seen their weddings and it seems like they're toning it down a little bit so that it's not this just, I mean, put you in debt for the next 10 years kind of thing. But when it comes to a healthy understanding of marriage, what is a healthy understanding of marriage? And then these couples that have that fantasy idea, how do they move from the fantasy into looking at their marriage in a healthy way?
That's why we started writing and speaking more on getting ready for marriage, because I think you've got to help them look at the real side of it, not the fantasy side. And so you do that quite quickly. Like you mentioned debt. Well, you do that by saying, let's sit down before you get married and let's talk about finances. Let's talk about creating a budget, but let's also talk about a debt reduction, because so many people are coming into marriage with that added stress.
Ooh.
So if 86% of marriages, you know, fall apart because of communication, well, a lot of the communication is on something like finances, like sex, like you know, their in-laws, things like that. So what we've done is we've tried to bring up the tough issues. We've got something called 50 questions that you got to ask before you get married. And we were tough on them in terms of, you know, is there alcoholism in your family background? Well, there was alcoholism in my family background, but are you willing to talk about it? Was there sexual abuse? If one out of three young women were sexually abused by the time they're 18, well, that means they're bringing some of this horrible trauma into their marriage.
And that's going to get brought up.
Exactly.
You can't ignore it.
Yeah. So the way you do this, Ryan, is you talk about it before so you're ready. And that doesn't mean that just because you've had some trauma in your life, my goodness, we all have a dysfunctional past in one way or another. It just means broken. We're all broken people.
Yep.
We have to be ruthlessly honest about our brokenness. And the more ruthlessly honest about our brokenness before marriage, I think the better.
Yeah. And it sounds like that's one of the keys to getting off on the right foot.
Yes.
You know, so when, you know, the day after you get married, you're not going, wait, you spend money that way? I don't think we should spend money that way.
Right.
And all of a sudden now you're asking all the hard questions when – maybe we should ask that before.
Yeah, you go into it with your eyes open.
Right.
And you know, most marriage counselors will tell you that by the time people come for marriage counseling, it's too late.
Mm.
You know, there is a plus or minus, not a real high success rate of marriage counseling, but they also say that if you were
is that true, really?
Yeah.
So most people that all of a sudden decide, hey, we're in trouble, we should seek marriage counseling, they're way, way down the wrong track.
Well, it's oftentimes, statistically, oftentimes too late that counselors would say, if we would have got them 5 years earlier, if we would have got them earlier, what's your stat on if they just stay in it, though?
Yeah. Yeah. If in a troubled marriage, if you will persevere for 5 years, then 75% of those marriages say that they are better off.
Wow.
That's incredible. And that's just the persevering side to it.
That's just sticking to the commitment.
Right.
Digging in, we're just going to we're going to stick with it.
Yeah, but a lot of people do it alone. And so one of the things that Doug and I talk about in getting ready for marriage and also in the workbook and also on the online app that we have is we talk about mentoring. And we're challenging people, you know, find mentors who and you know, it doesn't have to be a program, but find mentors. I know for Kathy and I, we didn't really know how to do marriage. We were fortunate enough to find some older, wiser people that we just sort of hang out with. I don't think these people even thought or ever knew that they were our mentors. We would just go with them. We'd have four or five questions. today it's kind of popular to have a mentor or whatever. But back with us, because again, we've been married 40 years, we just kind of would say, how do you guys do this with your kids? What do you do spiritually together? Things like that. And I think this generation is really open to that. So one of the things we push is, if you want to grow together in your marriage, then find people to do this together. Have people, find mentors, find peer support. And then as you go on, then you be mentors. I mean, I laugh because people, I heard somebody say the other day, you know, Jim and Kathy are mentors for our marriage. And I went, we are? And then I realized, well, you know, ever so often we do get together and we talk about marriage with them, but it's just a give and take.
Well, even before the show started, we were talking, Ryan, about you remember several years ago, Jim's daughter sitting on his lap.
Yeah.
And what a moment that was in your heart and in your mind. His 12-year-old daughter sat on his lap and you thought, that is a great dad. And that's become a picture.
That was 1998, by the way.
And that's become a picture for you as a dad. So I've
remembered it ever since. She came and sat on your lap with a bunch of strangers sitting there because that was a familiar thing in your house. And I thought at that moment, you know, that was the deciding factor. That literally that moment I thought, I have to work for you because I got to figure out how you got a junior hire to sit on your lap because you've got that relationship. And this has been almost 15, maybe more than 15 years ago, but it happened with Lincoln. He sat on my lap and I went straight back to that moment thinking, something. I did it.
Yeah.
I did it. I did. I wanted that so bad.
And where did it start? It started with a picture and it started with as a mentor. So people who are listening go, you know, I don't have to have a perfect marriage.
No.
To mentor a younger marriage. And if we would all get together and say, hey, let's raise the tide of healthy marriages. So if you've been married for a while, don't think you've got it together and you just kind of keep about your own marriage. Invest in a younger couple. Invest in them relationally. Invest in them financially. Take them out to a meal. Ask them how their marriage is going. If you know somebody, engage. Put this book or anybody's book in front of them to just set them in the right direction. Ryan, I think if everybody cared more about the health of marriage universally and not just our own marriage, I think when I have to teach something from my 30 years of being married, it makes me more appreciative of my own marriage. Yep. So when Kathy and I, mentor younger couples or do premarital counseling with younger couples, it helps our marriage as well.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, Doug, you were saying that by the time most couples seek out counseling, it's too late. And again, you know, I said in the beginning of the intro that you guys are friends of mine, but I could do an entire program on the things I learned by being around the two of you for the 3 or 4 years that we were working together. But Jim, you said something to me early on that Laura and I picked up on, and we do that, is that before anything broke, you and Kathy decided that once a year you were going to get together to do something for your marriage. It was like getting an oil change in your car. You don't get an oil change when your engine seizes, because by that time, again, what Doug said, it's too late. I had a Ford Expedition, and my engine seized. And guess what? It's a giant paperweight. That's it. It's done. I had a tow company take it away. There's nothing I can do for it. I could give it 10 oil changes. It won't matter. That engine broke. But I should have been getting the oil changes all along. I shouldn't have waited that long. And you do that. Laura and I do that. Whether things are going great or things are terrible, at least once a year we do that tune-up just to get more tools to make this thing better. We invest in everything else. Why not into this relationship?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people don't do that, Ryan. A lot of couples, you know, they become child focused. And especially when they even have kids your kids' age, you know, the younger kids, you know, they become so child focused. Then you have teenagers and, you know, then you're even more child focused sometimes. But, we suggest to couples, young couples, make a commitment early to once a year, do something to enhance your marriage. Go to a conference. There's great conferences out there. Read a book together. In fact, we're telling people, read one marriage book. And if you have kids, read one parenting book.
Sure.
Surely it doesn't have to be ours. It's just do that on a regular basis because it's what you said. It's that tune-up. And we would do that for business. We would do that for health. We would do that for so many other things.
You do that for golf. You do that for exercise. You know.
I need to do it for golf. And I think you do too because the last time I saw you play golf, you could have used a book too.
Yeah. But need more than a book.
but anyway, that's the deal. You just be proactive, be intentional, keep it up.
Sure. Well, you just said I need more than a book. You need a coach. Mm-hmm. Well, get a marriage coach. That's what my wife and I have. That we've got these mentors that are great marriage coaches, and we do that. We just ask them a couple questions. Not every question, but a couple. It makes us a little bit better, and then a little bit better, and a little bit better, and then, hey, we're doing okay.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier, it makes them better too. That's mentor couple.
Yeah.
You know, they drive away going, gosh, okay, that was good. And we do have something to offer.
Yeah.
And hey, you know, we should think about that in our marriage. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should talk about that. So for the couples that are dating or who are thinking about getting engaged or who are engaged, what are some of those red flags? Just, you know, boom, red flag flies up. You know, I used to watch karate tournaments. I watch MMA now. But it's funny, in karate tournaments, if something goes wrong, there's judges in the corners and then whoop, they've got a flag. Flag goes up. Or if you're watching football, yellow flag goes up. But what are some of those red flags that you're dating and you go, listen, these are just some of those basic, you got to look at that. That's a warning sign.
Right. Well, some of the ones that are just totally evident are if one of them or both are involved in heavy pornography. That doesn't mean that God isn't a God of grace. They can get some help. But the truth is, if they're not willing to get the help before they get married, it's going to be tough. So you got pornography. You've got drug and alcohol issues. You know, so many of those big things. If I saw my fiance lying a lot and cheating, and sometimes we go, well, we'll get that fixed later.
Right.
And are you on the same page even with spiritual compatibility? You know, we don't talk a lot about spiritual compatibility. You know, Doug and I wrote a chapter on spiritual compatibility because the truth is that you keep hearing this statistic out there that says 50% divorce rate. But if couples worship together even two times a month, the divorce rate goes down by about 15%.
Goodness.
So the beauty is we've had a lie that's been going around saying that Christians have the same divorce rate. No, they don't. When people ask, you know, in polls and things, they'll say, well, are you a Christian? Well, you know, everybody says they're a Christian in America, even if they aren't. But if there's a worship component to it, and if you pray together regularly, if you have some focused time on spiritual intimacy, the rate goes really down. It's really good news about marriage.
Yeah.
So again, if you're totally at different places when it comes to spirituality, that's another red flag.
Yep, it is.
I think there's a red flag just in terms of relating to one another. If dating is really difficult, if you're arguing a ton, if other people, and it's hard to turn to other people, but if other people see red flags in your relationship, you know, wisdom says I'm gonna seek out what other people say that I care about. You know, obviously you've got to have that be a very safe group of people, but I think dating is so much easier, as I mentioned, so much easier than marriage. And if your dating time is difficult and there's always a crisis, that's a red flag.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hate to cut in here, but we are out of time for today. So we're going to continue this interview next time with Jim Burns and Doug Fields. We've been listening to a program titled Getting Ready for Marriage here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you'd like more information about Jim and Doug's new book, Getting Ready for Marriage, or their ministry, Homeward, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Again, this is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for the conclusion of our program with Jim Burns and Doug Fields, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
For those of you who are planning to be married soon, I strongly recommend that you participate in 6 to 8 premarital counseling sessions with someone who is trained specifically to provide this assistance. Now, there are many benefits to doing this. For one thing, counseling can help overcome the tendency in this culture for people to marry virtual strangers. Even though the typical bride and groom have spent many hours talking together, they still don't know each other as well as they think they do. That's because most dating relationships are designed to conceal information, not to reveal it. Each partner puts his or her best foot forward, hiding embarrassing facts and habits and flaws. That's why it isn't unusual for a couple to discover more about one another on a 6-day honeymoon than they learned in all the months and years they were dating. A qualified premarital counselor using sophisticated tests and inventories is often able to identify potential conflicts before they arise and offer suggestions to minimize them. It's far better to make that discovery a month before marriage than 3 weeks after. He or she can also recognize strengths in the relationship on which the newlyweds can build. But how can premarital counseling be paid for when a young couple's financial needs are the greatest? Well, I can't think of a better wedding gift that parents could provide.
Hear more at myfamilytalk.com.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Meg Meeker here for Family Talk. Where can you go to receive support and advice for you and your family? Family Talk interacts with millions of people every day with the inspiring advice and tips from Dr. James Dobson on what matters to you the most. Whether it's marriage or parenting, you can be sure our Facebook page will keep you updated with how your family can succeed. Join us each day for the latest broadcast, resources, and inspiration. Nowhere else can you hear a direct thought of the day from Dr. Dobson, as well as a special thought and conversation starter before you say goodnight. You can be sure that every post on our page is created with you and your family in mind. So please take the time to visit us and become part of our online community at facebook.com/ Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. That's facebook.com/ Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.